Today is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle from this Mass is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord has blessed thee by his power, because by thee he has brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies, because he has so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life, by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 41 to 50. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment that the sound of thy greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is our privilege today to offer this High Mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in honor of her greatest feast, her assumption into heaven. And it is a natural consequence of the other great feasts in her honor throughout the year. Her very existence began, as you know, with her Immaculate Conception. Conceived without sin, no evil or anything ungodly ever touched her. And then, as a young girl, she was given a proposal, as you know, an invitation to be the Mother of God. And that feast is, as you know, is the Annunciation. Because St. Gabriel the Archangel announced to her what her destiny would be, but it all depended on her agreement. Because it was an invitation. She didn't have to do it. But she followed God's will. She followed her star, so to speak. And she became the Mother of God. She raised the Son of God as an infant to a full-grown man, was with him more than anyone else. And in his public life, those 3 years, she was often present. And at that greatest of all moments in history, she was at the foot of the cross, standing witnessing her beloved son after being so cruelly treated. And tortured and treated like a terrible criminal. She was there when he was crucified and when the Son of God gave up his life on the cross. She was there to be co-redemptrix. Our Lord is our Redeemer. He's our mediator between God, the Father, and all of us. But she's mediatrix because all grace from God comes through her hands. She's co-redeemer. God chose her to participate in this singular manner, to participate in our redemption. He did not have to do it this way. We did it because every human being that's ever lived, all of us here, need a mother to watch over us. Especially when we fall, to pick us up and give us back to God. On our Lord's greatest moment, Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead. This feast is her greatest moment because after our Lord rose from the dead, it is believed by traditions, small t tradition, that he appeared first to his mother. And then to St. Mary Magdalene and the apostles and a few hundred other disciples. And he was ascended into heaven. He ascended. He was brought to heaven by God the Father, but also by his own power. The Blessed Mother must have longed to be with her son. But she had a vocation, she had a role in the early church to assist the apostles, to assist and help the early Christians. Just imagine if you're one of those early Christians and you asked to speak with the Mother of God, to have her tell you some stories. And in fact, we know one person who did that, and that was St. Luke. Because scripture scholars believe that he learned many details through the power of the Holy Ghost from the lips of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then she continued her life on earth for many years. Some say she lived to the age of 72. But at the end of the course of her life, and this is believed with a strong tradition by the early Christians, that at the end of her life, when she was about to die, all the apostles were inspired by the Holy Ghost to return to witness the death of the Blessed Virgin Mary and were brought miraculously there so that they were all present at her death. Now, the dogma of the Assumption does not specifically state that she died, but it is believed that she did because, following the example of her son, that she died. But it was not a death such as we undergo. Because the moment we die, the body immediately begins to corrupt. And as the scripture says in reference to our Lord, it also applies to the Blessed Virgin Mary that he will not let his Holy One undergo corruption. So that's often why she's depicted, and in the Eastern Church, they call this feast the Dormition, the sleeping, that she's dormant of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But as is depicted in this beautiful banner, moments later, she was brought back to life. And she was assumed into heaven with the apostles present. They witnessed this. And just like with Easter, that's our Lord's greatest feast. This, as I said, is her greatest feast because it is showing, above all, the power of God. Because she shows the first fruits of our Lord's resurrection that mankind receives. Because after the fall of Adam, and secondarily Eve, but Adam, who disobeyed God, we were under a curse. The curse of sin. And we all inherit it. And God so designed that the way we get out from under this curse is by Holy Mother Church, who gives us the magnificent gift of the first sacrament that we call baptism. Yesterday evening, I had the privilege of assisting our superior in two baptisms. I've witnessed baptisms. I've performed them for many years now, decades. But it was very moving. And it reminded me of 40 years ago when I was a young seminarian helping Father with baptisms. I had not done that in many, many years. And it was a very great privilege to witness these two people receive baptism on the eve, the vigil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because now they are especially protected by her to receive all the sacraments, especially Holy Communion today. So you can imagine why, historically, this is one of her most ancient feasts. In the 6th century, it is recorded that it was being celebrated in the city of Jerusalem. But it most likely goes back much farther because of its importance. And we do have to remember, as a side note, just because in the year 2019 we don't have a written record or document showing that it was celebrated, this feast, right after the Blessed Virgin Mary passed away, just because we don't have that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because remember who's in charge of the church. God, the Holy Ghost, who gives life to the church. And nothing, no matter who it is or what it is, or what evil people who are servants and slaves, willing slaves of the devil, can overthrow the Catholic Church. That's why we are here. To give glory to God, to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, but also as a statement against those who hate the church, hate this Mass. Terribly, they hate the Blessed Virgin Mary, and they hate what this chapel is, what we do here, because of the guilt that they have. It's an indictment. So the first duty we have after praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary and asking her assistance is to thank God for bringing our mother to heaven. We can rejoice today with all the angels and saints. There is today a huge feast in heaven. Saints have witnessed it on major feast days. They are brought to heaven. They have a vision of what's happening in heaven. And on these feast days, these great feast days, there's a huge celebration. God willing, all of us will be there. We won't let anything interfere with our destiny of being in heaven with our Blessed Virgin Mary. And as one spiritual writer said, commenting on this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that when our Lord came on earth, it was the Blessed Virgin Mary that received him in her womb, provided a bodily home, and after he was born, a physical home, and took great care of the infant Jesus. But today, our Lord receives her. Imagine the longing between our Lord and the Virgin Mary in those years between his ascension and her assumption. How much he longed for her to be with him in heaven, and how much she desired to be with her son in heaven. She is as the greatest creation of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the first fruit of our Lord's passion and death and his resurrection. Now we have a duty, we have work to do as Catholics, to pray earnestly and fervently and not be distracted by our own distractions. Don't give in to them. Pray fervently at this Mass to honor Our Lady, to thank God for his gifts, for this beautiful Mass, for this, though humble, this beautiful chapel. You may recall that these vestments that we are wearing and the beautiful antependium, the altar frontal, the entire set was made by the sisters, the Carmelite sisters here, and given to him as a gift from the fathers and the brothers and the sisters on Father's 45th anniversary. This set of vestments was made, especially this chasuble that we're wearing, as into the greatest detail of a vestment that Father received from some Carmelite sisters in Brooklyn almost 50 years ago. And it's to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's our most, in some ways, our most beautiful set of vestments. the little we can do to honor Our Lady. You see in the center, and it's too bad you can't see it up close, but it's an emblem with the sea, the raging sea, and above the sea is a star of hope, and that is a symbol of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Stella Matutina, Star of the Sea. And we decided to put that on there because it's very seldom depicted in vestments or religious art, but it's one of the titles she has from the Litany of Loreto, Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's to tell us and remind us that she is our comfort, our hope in these very difficult times that we live in. There are people, some you know, some you don't, who have undergone great sacrifice to be here today. Persecution, attacks, all for God, all for the Blessed Virgin Mary, for what we believe. This feast, as I said, been celebrated for centuries, but it wasn't until a couple hundred years ago that it was extended throughout the church, but it was never a major feast. And it was by the unanimous desire of the bishops, priests, and lay people in the mid-20th century who were petitioned by Pope Pius XII about proclaiming this doctrine, this dogma, this part of our belief, the Catholic faith, officially a dogma that you had to believe, a Catholic had to believe under pain of sin. And so Pope Pius XII proclaimed it on a beautiful day in 1950, All Saints' Day. So we want to, we've done this before, but I think it's good to hear the account. And I'm going to read it to you. Since, and this is, by the way, from the Divine Office, the Hour of Matins, that the priests and the religious recite today. And as an interesting note, they redid the entire office and the Mass for this feast just less than 70 years ago. Since indeed the universal Church has always throughout the ages manifested faith in the bodily assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and since the bishops of the whole world, by an almost unanimous agreement, have petitioned that this truth, which is enshrined in sacred scripture and deeply rooted in the souls of Christ's faithful, and is also truly in accord with other revealed truths, should be defined as a dogma of the divine and Catholic faith. Pope Pius XII, acceding to the requests of the whole Church, decreed that this privilege of the Blessed Virgin Mary be solemnly proclaimed. And thus, on the first day of November of the year of the Great Jubilee, 1950, at Rome, in the open square before the Basilica of St. Peter, surrounded by a throng of many cardinals and bishops of the Holy Roman Church who had come from distant parts of the earth, and before a great multitude of the faithful, with the whole Catholic world rejoicing, proclaimed in these words, and with infallible statement, the bodily assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. And here are his words. Wherefore, having offered to God continual prayers of supplication, and having invoked the light of the Spirit of Truth, to the glory of Almighty God, who has enriched the Virgin Mary with his special favor, in honor of his Son, the immortal King of ages, and the victor over sin and death, for the increase of the glory of the same august Mother, and for the joy and exaltation of our whole Church, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the holy apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, Mary ever Virgin, was at the end of her earthly life, assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. This Pope did what our Lord told him to do through St. Peter. Because he holds the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Meaning the Church has the authority to make laws and to do whatever is necessary to proclaim, explain in more detail, make more present for the faithful by definitions, etc. Anything to lead souls to heaven. And that's what this Pope did, and we are reaping the fruits of that day. Now today, it is the custom for many years of the beginning of Our Lady's 30 days, as you know. It ends on the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary on September 15th. And this beautiful custom comes to us by pious faithful, because there are many feast days honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it begins with the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, today, August 15th. And then a week from today is, on August 22nd, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then September 8th, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. September 12th, the Most Holy Name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then September 15th, I mentioned. And it is piously believed that Christians, faithful, devout Catholics, are given special graces and protection during these 30 days. We don't want to waste the graces from Almighty God, from the Holy Ghost, that are given to each one of us through these hands. Because if we waste them or reject them, imagine being at her feet and the Blessed Virgin Mary is giving you a grace, a gift. Maybe the grace is something that God permits you to see in a physical form, and she's offering it to you, and you say, no, I don't want that. You'd think that's impossible. I would never do that. I would never offend God or the Blessed Mother that way. But don't we do that frequently by ignoring our Lord's inspirations for each one of us? We have to be very, very careful to not treat the gifts of God with contempt. If St. Paul says that we are vessels of clay, our body and soul, that are easily broken, how much more so are our vessels weakened by our sins and our faults? So we need strength. We need help. And when once we admit it, that we need help, and help from our mother to pick us up, then we can feel confident that we're going to be on our road, back on our road to heaven. We're going to read one of the prayers of this Mass. And that is, as we frequently do, is the Collect. O Almighty and Eternal God, you assumed to celestial glory, in body and soul, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, the mother of your Son. Grant, we beseech thee, that ever intent on heavenly things, we may be worthy to share in her glory. She is extending, like this, her maternal hand. She's reaching out for us. Everyone here. She's extending her hand to everyone on earth. Every human being. And what do you do when someone, especially if you've fallen or you're about to go off the cliff, they extend their hand. She extends her hand, and what do? You put out your hand. You don't keep it at your side. You grab on, hold on for dear life to the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I think everyone here can think of moments of desperation, of great need, when maybe everything seems lost. And then you begin to pray, and you pray maybe the Memorare or the Hail Holy Queen, and infallibly you are brought back. Brought back to the consolation and comfort of God through the Blessed Virgin Mary. On Sunday, the priest will, since the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is this coming week, priest will speak about that because we have now run out of time. So remember what I said. Keep your hand outstretched to the Blessed Virgin Mary and pray fervently. And don't let those distractions from yourself or the world or the devil interfere with your prayers at this Mass, this beautiful Mass, honoring the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May God bless you.